You turn the Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verses 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. You know, a lot of things happen while you're there. I got called before the Sanhedrin one time, and they didn't like the way things was going. And then when it didn't work out that way, they filed a lawsuit against me. And it stayed about 5 years or a little over, went to Supreme Court of North Carolina, and we won. And I told a preacher that I had to follow behind the other year. Galax, Virginia is having a jubilee, and I was preaching last every morning. And he had been assistant pastor to the place, and they had promised that if a pastor ever left, he'd go. But when the pastor left, he'd go to the mission field. They just pushed him out in 2 weeks, didn't do anything for him. He had labored and worked. They had a bus and other things. But anyway, he preached, got a door open, and up at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission at Chicago, Illinois. And some pastors, when they was coming in there, that's where Billy Sunday was saved, at that one, he's a baseball player in the major leagues. And anyway, that opened a door there in the Midwest. He got to several meetings, and God was using him and his wife are real good singers. He's still just on the road now. He's never taken another church. He pastored one before he went there. And the man had introduced him, said, "Brother David," said, "you know, a lot of times you get wrong, that wronged in this world," but said, "they done our Savior wrong." But said, "you know, when he died, buried, rose again. He paid the debt for us that all of us could get right." Amen. And he said, "I tell you, just pray for them people." And he said, "I'm glad God's a using you on my door." So I got up and I said, "Brother David," I knew him, and he had been up at my jubilee when he was still pastoring, and then after he went to the assistant pastor of that church, he said, "you know what he did?" I said, "Brother David, I know you try to follow the Lord," and he did, and he does. I said, "if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And as much as life in you, live peaceful with all men." And I said, "sometimes you can't, better just go." But I said, "if you can't get peaceful, do like me." And they looked at me for a minute, and I paused. I said, "outlive them, they'll get peaceful then." And it's strange. Some of them that went, you know, and bitter and threatened and a lot of things that happened, God just stirred a place, had to have one profession in 7 years. I mean, they had the Ruitan Club. And so, God, I got to going out in the fields where they're working out on the farms and different places and seeing them, trying to get them on the sound of the gospel. And God, after about a year, broke in. And when it did, things began to happen. And then we built on church, built a parsonage, other things. And, you know, 1 year, we've been having a moving of God. And I had this preacher to come. I had a bunch of teenagers that was really under conviction. I had him to come. He had prayer meeting on Thursday night, and he had a good youth choir. I was wanting to start. I had several teenagers and let them sing and get them. He come that night, and I told him on that Wednesday night, I said, "brother," I said, "we could have 6 or 8 teenagers saved." He said, "we've been going through a dry spell." I said, "they're under conviction." And man, I tell you, we had 7 saved that night, but they weren't all teens. They just, God moved in. I can't explain it. I mean, when the Lord does it, he does it. And about time I was up thanking the Lord and received an offering from him after service, he sat down. I said, "what you doing the rest of the week?" "It's Wednesday night." And he said, I said, "I just felt led of God, and God just spoke to my heart and burdened me to have a revival right here." He said, "I never gotten one like this." Man, I tell you, it snowed 14 inches after the Friday night service. We couldn't even have service. And they moved. We couldn't get nobody to clean off a parking lot. And so we'd had a dozen saved, adults and all. Sunday morning, we didn't miss a Sunday that year, but what somebody, God brought them into the family of God. And man, Sunday morning, little lady had got saved and her husband, he had to work second shift. She said, "my husband's going to get saved." Boy, she brought him in that morning. It's parked out the road, took one lane of the highway there. We did the park. We couldn't get nowhere else. We had 98 people there, 14 inches of snow and cup. I mean, that shows something. And God's a moving. People don't get out like that. She brought Darcy and set him on the front seat, and I preached. Guess what? He got right up and got saved. Hallelujah. And I baptized 43, the first baptizing. I mean, it got up. We had to baptize up there in the, where the river's at. And then the Spirit of God moved. So 6 weeks later, I baptized 46. I mean, that'd go. And man, they're shouting on the creek banks. I'm having a time around there. And you say, did you get tired? Lord, I mean, the Spirit of God, he makes you strong. I was baptizing them, and they're shouting in between. I had time to rest. I mean, it just got on around there. I can't explain it. I don't try to. I just know I've experienced it and seen it. One lady backed up, and then I'm going to read. She'd come and other places and went through, and they'd told her everything to do, and Pentecostal and other, do the best you could. You got to do this, you know, and all of the others. And she just got confused. She didn't know which way to turn. But she really got in. And when she backed up there at the river there, all of a sudden she had pointed right up like that. I thought she was pointing to heaven. And she started shouting. I couldn't baptize her in her shouting. I said, what is it? And she pointed up there, said, the devil tried to get me all these times to doubt. I know I'm saved now. Look yonder at that old serpent climbing up a tree right now, and there's a black snake, and said, I just got a sign. Hallelujah. The devil can't bother me no more as far as getting me to doubt my salvation. I mean, you just don't be things like that.
Amen. Amen.
I preached up there on a Tuesday, and then I wrote a little old track. I preached a sermon a lot. My witness heaven, my record's on high. I felt little God had just come alive, woke me up around it, and said, condense that and put a track. And I'm not a printer. And the God just showed me what to put on the front. What is your record? The big question mark in the book. And so we got about 8,000 of them printed. And the man they took up there in the mill and was calling. And people, we was in a spirit of revival. And people's there. I mean, it's just God. You can't explain it. They called my wife. Said, pray, if some of them at break want to pass that track, and said, they want to see about, said, they're burdened and crying here, said. And man, they called back at 12 o'clock, and they'd already had some saved, break time. They called back at 3 that evening at other break time, and said, we've got 6 people, and they've got saved, and said, man, we just having a revival up here in the mill, and said, they want to be baptized this evening. And said, well, Brother Rayton, you come up there and baptize them up at Laurel Bluff, or the river. I said, yes, praise God. Someone told me, said, you didn't vote them in the church. I said, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't get voted in under the watch care.
Amen, Doc, that's all right.
And a woman run us off over there in a little old convenience thing. They had one like, you know, at least convenience store apartment up above. We went to see her, and her sister had gotten saved, said, go see my sister. She's really burdened about her. We got up there and said, I don't know nothing to do with church, anything about it, the other. And boy, she lit up and she blowed smoke towards me. About time we was getting ready to go in the water, I preached on Acts chapter 8. I had a testament on the Ethiopian eunuch. They got to stop it going home from work. They didn't know what was going on Tuesday, and that's unusual, isn't it? And so all of a sudden, about the time we went in the water, I heard someone coming across that bridge like a horse running. And I looked the way they'd run about up there, and she'd run, and her sister had got saved up there in a mill.
Yeah.
And she said, what's going on, honey? That sister started crying, said, oh, honey, I got saved. It's so wonderful. Man alive, she jerked loose. You know what she did? She walked towards me, crying a little bit and kind of angry too. She said, did I get saved the way I've done? I said, yes. She got saved. We baptized nine on Tuesday evening. You say you did? Yeah, every one of them went to church somewhere. It showed to me that they went there and told them. Peter said, one preacher wanted to re-baptize them. They said, no, I won't do it. I already got baptized down the river. You say, preacher, what happened? I can't explain it, but it happened. Right. Amen. That woman run across the bridge. She keeps a nursery in a church now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Boy, I see her now. She took that in and I thought, blowed that smoke right there. Yeah. You say, well, how you explain something like that? I don't. You just have to say it's the Lord. I baptized 105 that year. We didn't have a Sunday. We didn't have somebody saved. And you talk about then the devil starting off. That's when I got called before the Sanhedrin. But anyway, that's enough of that. In verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, I'm kind of like Lindy Clear. I read a little bit of that book. You just maybe want to tell about it, what the Lord's done. Thank God. I tell you, I feel better all over than anywhere else. I'm feeling plumb religious, to be honest about it.
That's all right, Doc. Amen. Bless his name. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't like that shouting. They didn't. They called me for the Sanhedrin. Oh. You just run things. And I said, strange thing to me, that you went 7 years, didn't have nobody saved. Now when people get saved, you're worried about it. Okay, in Ephesians 5:21, it said, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to the husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And I want you to look at that verse in verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I know if I'm honest, I look in the mirror and sometimes while I'm shaving, I quote Hebrews 13:8 to Rayton, because there's nobody reflecting back but me. You know what that is? Jesus Christ, the same yours today, and forever. And then sometimes I say a word, Lord, who's changed? You haven't. What's wrong with us? Why aren't we seeing the power of God manifested? Why is this moral situation deteriorated so that, man, I mean, God, if they don't judge that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to have to be apologized to, and he's not going to. And I tell you, we're in a mess we've never been in. I wouldn't doubt a bit in the world if it keeps on, but churches don't lose their tax exemption. I told a bunch of preachers, don't call the Sodomites off name at that end. I said, call them Sodomites in the Bible, because if you say them other thing, they're going to get you, they'd sue you for hate speech. But I want to tell you this. He said, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. And then he tells us, husbands and wife made a relationship between it. But when Paul spoke about this, he said this word in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He used that in our little mind somehow or another. When God made, he saw it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he made a help meet for him. When God woke Adam up, he saw it as love at first sight. He said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father's house and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one. You find here that when Paul brought this out of husband and wife, he is talking about the Lord leaving the father's house, thank God, coming for a bride. And I'm glad I'm in that number, that one day God, he convicted me, wooed me, won me over, and like they sung, Jesus is all the world to me. He's more than that. He's our all, and in our all. The church is a body, the bride in the building. He said he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church. Now, I know we're not so glorious right now sometimes. We can do like Moses after years of being saved. We can find our temper and speak unadvisedly with our lips. I'm not talking about cursing. We can talk about something else. But I want to tell you, he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church without spot or blemish or wrinkle or anything else. And I'm glad I'm a member of the General Assembly of the Firstborn. Thank God that's mentioned in heaven. And then as you think about it, he gave his life for the church. He purchased it with his own blood. He came and he did. And you find in, we get in the church, as 1 Corinthians 12:1-13 said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and it made to drink into one spirit. And then verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. Did you know there's only two bodies that's mentioned called by name in the church? Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. When led, the preacher then, he wanted to keep us, try to keep us humble. Sometimes that's hard to do. And you say, why? Because listen, the only thing then that other member of the body is mentioned, and that'll keep us preachers from getting proud, amen. He said, so then faith cometh by hearing in Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? As it's written, quoting from the prophet of Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring it. I tell you, you better take good care of your feet here. When I was in the military, when we'd get out there and train, 20-mile hikes and other thing going, they'd have foot inspection. They'd tell you, get there on your bed, stick your feet up on the foot locker. They'd come around doctors and others to see how your feet was, because if your feet was out of commission, that whole body, no matter how strong you might be otherwise, that body. And so you say, how you know he's got beautiful feet? Well, he preaches the gospel of the peace of God to a lost and a dying world. You say he may have corns on his feet. Well, it don't matter. They're still beautiful. Amen. I tell you, the weight of the whole body is on the feet right now. Now you're sitting down, but my feet right now is what's holding my body up. And I know I've got a friend that has to now sit on a stool to sing. They can't find what's wrong with his legs that sang the group. They'll be singing tomorrow night at that church where I'm preaching at. And they went everywhere forever, Ted. He said, I don't know what it is, but praise God, one day I'm going to leap like a hart. Amen. I tell you, that's the attitude to have about it. But Brother Scott, this church out here, he knows things that you won't ever know about. He knows problems that people have that you don't know anything about. And as a minister of Christ, as a preacher of the gospel of the grace of God, that burden is upon him. Maybe nobody can tell, but his dear wife, I hear you, some things you just don't tell. You just work at it. Well, there's an incident in Bristol. There's a couple that had been childhood sweethearts. And then he worked, had a good job at over at Kingsport. And he went riding his motorcycle. And then him and a lady that was a Christian, and she asked him, said, you know, when she saw him that day, why that I transferred to another department? He said, I thought you got him a promotion. And her husband worked second shift. She taught Sunday school tongues. She said, no, it was because I was falling in love with you. She knew he rode the motorcycle. And then is up there in a vehicle where he rolled around, got to talking, and he sinned against God, come home, told his wife. The next day, she had her car packed. She didn't work, had three little boys. Next day, she had her car packed, moving out, and called my wife. I come in, I'd got up early that morning, and I picked some beans to can, and I had to run to the hospital. I'd got up at the crack of day. When I come in, my wife had seven cans of beans there, and she said, "Rayton," I said, "Well, we can them." She said, "We got to go," and she told me what happened. I went up there, and I said, "What would you do? You say you're a childhood sweetheart. You never dated anybody, either one of you." And I said, "I know what you told me, weeping, brokenhearted about that." They were faithful every time the door opened. They had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting. There had to be sickness before they was out of there, of the house of God. When they went on vacation, they wouldn't take off for the weekend. They'd leave after service of a night. You know something? Then when I talked to her and we begged her not to leave, try somehow to find in her heart forgiveness. There's about a year that went on. Man, when I told him, he said, "Do you know that, Rayton?" I went to see him. He was laying there sick, wouldn't need. The chastened hand of God was upon him, and he wept. He said, "I never thought I'd do something like that. I wished I could die." I said, "You need to get right with God." Oh, I tell you, he got sick. His nerves got so bad in the hospital. Folks got to asking him and dropping out, "What happened to them?" Rayton, what happened? I couldn't tell him what happened. But one day, thank God, he called me, and we had dealt time after time with him, and said, "Can you and Faith come up here?" Well, he got right with God. And brother, she found in her heart to forgive him. I said, "You'd be stronger than ever, because David said, 'The bones that thou hast broken may rejoice.'" I said, in Psalms 51, and I said, "Where you broken fellowship with God?" I said, "I broke my leg playing football, and this old doctor up there at Hillsville, Virginia, he said to me, when it went there and they found I had it broke part of the way and split about 4 inches, the bone up and out. He put that cast on it, and then when he had x-rayed along, took it, he said to me, 'Captain,' and he called me. He said, 'Captain,' said, 'I tell you, there where it's broke, it's going to be stronger than it was before. It's like electric well.' He said, 'That blood clot, it forms calcium. It builds a ridge.' Said, 'Your body's fearfully and wonderfully made.' And you know something? He said, 'That my leg may break, but it's stronger there than it is anywhere else.' And I said, 'The bones that's broken, that go back together.' I said, 'The blood, thank God, like it did that, that caused that, will cleanse from all sin, restore.' I'll tell you, he come and he said, 'I'm going to tell the church.' I said, 'No, you're not. You tell them that you sinned against God and that you failed the Lord, but you're not telling what you've done.' I said, 'That won't get you anywhere. That won't get you.' And I mean, I had the wireless mic and I made sure he got to weeping. He said, 'We fail. I failed God. I failed the church. I failed my family.' But he said, 'Thank God, there's forgiveness with God. Things is right.' But he told his wife, said, 'I'd be shaking hand.' Said, 'I wonder if Rayton thinks any time if I'm still doing.' He moved to a smaller church, and then they sung one night, and I was in a revival. They couldn't come down, the choir couldn't. And I saw him up there. He's a deer hunter, and he growed out a beard. It was getting toward deer hunting season. Man is talking to me. I said, 'I got to speak to that man.' I went there and I spoke to him. I said, 'I'm so glad to see you in the house of God, to see you singing.' He said, 'Brother Rayton, thank you again. I want to tell you now, I stopped to see him on a Saturday, and I thought he'd be deer hunting. I was visiting that area. And that man, as I saw him, I pulled over and turned around and went back. When I pulled in the driveway, he had never, I mean, he seemed like at a distance, kept me at a distance after that happened where that we'd been close to that. But when I talked to him, pulled in, he smiled right big. He's washing his car. It's a pretty November day. Shook my hand. And he said, 'Rayton, my wife's in here. She's baked a cake. The boys is over at my dad's, at their grandpa's. Said, they'll want to see you.' And boy, they come over there. I went in there in the house, brother. service, God. And you know something? Thank God that place that had broken. When I turned back, I went the second mile. There's some things that you have to put and have to do. Nobody knows that he died, or I wouldn't even tell it right now. He died the last year with cancer. But when he came to hear me preach, and my wife was with me then, and they came over there out of Bristol to hear me preach, and was there, and they had just like sweethearts, boy, done got married, hallelujah, and they had grandchildren. And I'm telling you, you say what had happened if that home would have broken up, where would them boys have been? Oh, the devil, a new thing to see it. But you got to watch. That's why I say you got to take the feed and bear the burdens. You don't excuse those things. But I want to tell you, I'm glad there's forgiveness with God. Dad, I watched. I had a habit all the time opening the door for my wife. I did that the last time she ever got an automobile. I opened the door for her. But anyway, you know something? They went up there, and there they tell me about being a grandpa. They went up through there walking, holding hand. He opened the door for his wife, throwed up his head at me. I started weeping. You say, why? I said, thank God for the healing power of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
He's going to present it to himself. You say, as a mark against him. Yeah, and his wife said that night, him too, said, when you told us that we could get closer and stronger than we'd ever been, said that day, the first time that you said that, I said, it's impossible. But she looked at him, grabbed his hat, and said, I found it to be so. Hallelujah. That won't get you on shouting ground, nothing won't.
Amen.
I'm glad God can restore
Amen.
That bone that's been broken. Get it back in fellowship. Hallelujah. And rejoice. You and I have come short of the glory of God, but I'm glad I'm in that church, a glorious church.
Amen.
You say you don't look too glorified now. You just wait.
Wait.
I may be bearing the image of the earthly now, but I'm going to be bearing the image of the heavenly then.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the King in his beauty and behold that land that's very far off, as Isaiah 33:10 says. Oh, he loved the church. He's presenting it. You say, why? He planned for it so long before the foundation of the world. He is a lamb slain in God's mind in the preordained plan of God before this world ever was, before he ever made the dust that he formed the first man out of. Psalms 139 said he wrote all my members in his book when they hadn't even made Adam. Thank God he knew the color of my eyes, what size shoe I'd wear when I'd be born, and thank God he knew when I'd be born again. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you who by him do believe in God. I'll tell you, I didn't need to know before the world was, but I need to know 59 years ago when I found out he planned. He made a purpose, thank God. He is a lamb slain, and he tasted death for every man. And I was one of them that he drew, and I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. He planned for it so long. Not only that, he paid such a price for it. You say that. I thought there's some up there. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. When did I go out to Blue Ridge Parkway tonight? The Lord lets me get there. I'm getting 4 miles of home. And there's a mile marker on the parkway. Mile marker 192. Then I turn off right below mile marker 188. Back there in the World War II, Bob Childress, they called a shepherd of the hills of Presbyterian. He built them rock churches through there. Come through there, God used him with the power of God. He had been shot when he was a boy. Then all they did was getting a .32 Ivor Johnson pistol. But every Saturday night, we had Sunday school. Packed that place out. And every Saturday night, I wasn't saved. When I got old enough, 14, Mom and Daddy let me go out there to Sunday school. But the young people, you know what we'd sing every Sunday night, Saturday night? Sunday school on Saturday night. You say, well, that's not a good time to have it. Well, it's all right.
Why, yeah.
And he had sang, get up there and sang, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I learned that song at a Presbyterian church.
Amen.
And I wasn't even saved. You get it repeated enough, it'll stay in your mind.
Right.
That preacher, he won people to God. He took a stand for God. Preached against their liquor making, their drunkenness, everything else they was doing. He'd come right out. For a while, he said, I walked on soft shelled egg, but I decided I wasn't getting nowhere. I'd just preach.
Yeah, amen, Doc.
Yeah, he planned for it so long. He paid such a price for it. You say he did, yes. Like that night in 9, none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night the Lord passed through where he found that sheep was lost. I tell you now, he paid a price, and the only blood God had, he shed for the church. Paul told all the elders, and he called them to lead us in Acts chapter 20. And he told them, he said, take heed unto yourself in verse 28. And the flock of God, the preacher, whom the Holy Ghost of God's made you overseer, to feed the church of the God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Oh, yeah.
He paid a price for it. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and he give it upon the altar to make atonement for our soul, and nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He sought it, thank God he brought it, and he bought it. He paid for us in full. He said in John 19:30, it's finished, and when he says it's finished, it's done. Strange thing too, if you get a concordance out of the good one, when God made the woman, and he called her woman, he called her both of them his name Adam. They created, according to Genesis 5. Anyway, if you'll read that, he called them both Mr. and Miss Adam. Woman won't take her husband's name, I'd be scared of her.
Yeah,
she married.
All right.
Anyway, you'd have that for whatever it's worth. And anyway, every time he said this is woman, bone of my bone. Every time the word woman's mentioned in the Old Testament and wife, it's the same Hebrew word. A wife and a woman, same one.
Right.
You say, what does it mean? I believe it's Ishah, the Hebrew name.
Yes.
And if you go back to it, it means like out here, a vine that grows beside of a tree. They're both little together. And they start out, and that vine goes around that tree until it's all a part of it, grows into the tree. And then if you cut one, you cut them both. I'm glad, thank God, because man might have eaten the forbidden tree, but there's one hung on the tree, the cross of Calvary, bore the curse of a sin. And thank God, I tell you, for 59 years, I've been winding around, and I feel like the journey's about over, but it's all right. Paid such a price for it. You say, what about the church? I got to hurry. But first of all, what about the founder of this glorious church? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the founder of it. You know, the first time a church is mentioned is Matthew 16:13, when they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked the disciples a question, whom do man say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they've said, some of them say Isaiah, some of them say Jeremiah, some of you say John the Baptist rose from the dead, or one of the prophets, but he got personal and said, whom do you say that I am? About that time, Peter, by divine revelation, it didn't come from God, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth be loosed in heaven. I was saved in the church. I was baptized. Thank God I was taught the truth of God's word that got me stable in the church. And God expect me to study to show myself approved unto God, to be followers of God, to learn from him. And thank God for the church. I'll tell you, you'd meet millionaires, you'd meet people that's a poor, that can't hardly stand it, but the rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord's a maker of them all. You can have fellowship with a multimillionaire if you're a pauper, if you're right with God. Amen. And they add to you, no matter what walk of life you see out there, that they add to your Christian life. One's got this gift. He give that place to every member in the bodies that pleased him.
Amen.
Of course, some of them just got an eye to find fault on somebody. I used to say this. They said, well, they had a good eye on themselves, bad eye on their brother or sister, no eye on God, because if they did, they wouldn't have been looking to fault finding.
That's all right.
He knows, if I says to thee, I have no need of you. Hand was to say, I have no. If you don't believe every member is a part of the body, you just smash one of your little fingers right real good.
Right.
It'll let you know. You drop a rock on your little toe, even if you got shoes on, you'll know it's part of the member of the body.
Sure.
That's why if one member suffers, we all suffer. That's why we're to bear one of those burdens.
Right.
Brother or sister, be overtaken in the fall. You're spiritual. Instead of criticizing and putting them down, try to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself. You might have done worse in Galatians 6. You get away from God, don't stay close to him. Go and not quit reading his word. Go to slacking off the house of God and other things, and not being a, you got to be a spectator instead of a participator. And I've noticed the spectators always has got the answer to everything, what they know, the question or not.
Yeah.
I'm glad for the church, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the founder of it. You say, well, Peter's reply was to the revelation of God the Father, because Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, you didn't learn that by flesh and blood, but my Father showed you by the Holy Ghost of God. And upon this rock, you say that confession, yes, it was a revelation of God the Father. Peter confessed Jesus, the human and divine nature, because he was right there. He is a word made flesh, but he's God's only begotten Son. And it wasn't a Roman Catholic neither. Peter couldn't have qualified as the first pope. Anybody's got a mother-in-law, wife's mother, like it tells us in Mark chapter 1 and other places, wife's mother, you have to have a wife. If they let them have a wife like they're supposed to, man, there wouldn't be so much of this stuff where they paying all these millions of dollars. Another thing, I just put this while it's worth. I'd say this, I'm not going to claim to be anything, but I never coveted no man's wife. I never coveted no man's church. And brother, I haven't coveted no man's silver or gold. My God shall supply all my need. I had one of the sweetest wives a man could ever have. And I want to tell you right now, God's took care of me. He's been good to me. And all I can say is, hallelujah, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I didn't bring anything this world, and it's certain I'll take nothing out. You say, as long as, oh, don't you want some things? Well, I tell you, Psalm 27 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Every once in a while, he'll just give you something you didn't even ask for. Just like you did your children sometimes. You'll think about them, or your wife or husband, if you love one another.
Sure.
I know one time, Stacy Lane, pastor's over here now, there, and my wife bought a pair of shoes out there on sale. And they was good ones. I mean, name brand. Well, the only thing, she had forgot my size, and it was on sale. She couldn't take them back. I tried to give them to one preacher. No, wouldn't do it. Stacy had come up there at the house, Brian Edwards, and boy, my wife had a big pot of pinto beans, and them fellas cleaned them out. A bunch of others there after the Jubilee service. They eat them. I said, what size shoe you wear, Stacy? He brought in there, and man, they fit him perfect. I said, you know something, my wife bought them for you and gave them to you. I saw him 5 years later. Said, look them shoes. Boy, I take care of them. They're still good.
Yeah.
Give a drink of water. Sometime God will reward you for it. I don't know about a pair of shoes to look after a preacher's feet.
Yeah.
But I mean, she did. She had me in mind. But see, they didn't fit me. And God had a plan that. He needed a pair of shoes.
Why?
I mean, the shoes he had, they just weren't too good. I looked at them. And sometimes you get poor enough, I mean, you just make do with what you got.
Amen.
I mean, we can do without a lot of things. We can't think we can't.
Yeah.
We can do without electricity if the power goes off. You may not have no choice. I got a generator. I bought that thing back in 2000. And man, I tell you what it does. It won't run my heat, but I got the gas heater. And I've got an Eden Pure heater. And it'll take that, and I can cook on one eye, and I can make a coffee. And I fired that thing up. It costs to run it all right, high as gas is, but at least I've got light. I'm not in the dark, and I can fix me something to eat. Amen. You say, well, you do. Thank God for that generator. But you can make out without it. And I tell you, he's a founder of the church. You say, he is. Absolutely. He said, it's my church. You're a member of the local assembly here. I'm a member of one. But I want to tell you, you call this Trinity Baptist Church, Drexel, North Carolina. You got a pastor, everything God said. There in Ephesians 4, where he gave some apostles, some evangelists, and some prophets, all for the edifying the church. But when you come to it, every believer all over the world that's confessed the same faith in the Lord, know the same Lord we are, we're a member of the General Assembly of the firstborn and the first begotten. He's a founder of the church. And not only that, he's a foundation of the church. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, but let everyone take heed how he builds thereon. For none other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if you build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to be tried by fire. A lot of this carnality going on today around out here in the guise of church work, it's not going to stand the test when the fire hits it. I ask you, which is the most valuable, a little diamond or a big roll of hay? Yeah, but man, they got a crowd. Yeah, but they have a big crowd at ball games too. Them professionals, if you don't believe it, they say a hot dog costs $8. So if I went to one, I wouldn't buy a hot dog, good as I like them. And you say, why? God wants me to have a little sense. I tell folks I'm a depression kid, but I'm not depressed. No, I know what it is to have one pair of shoes. I know what it was before we had electricity. My mother and my sister take that old Singer sewing machine, pedal it, and they'd cut them overalls down, bibs, then that, and make me short pants down below my knees summertime. We couldn't wait for barefoot time. Everybody had a lathe. My dad run a little country store. We had a whole shelf right there of tacks, glue-on soles, leather about that long. And they'd come there and cut whatever size shoe. These men, they was their own cobbler. Right. You say, time's hard. Yeah, I've seen women, barefoot, man, grown man during that time. On the ledger, if they'd bring eggs and different things to my dad's little old country store, if they had 4 or 5 cents, if they'd wait until crop come, they old, can I get this? Some things you had to have, some salt and flour that they didn't have. They had a meal down there that they took corn. My brother-in-law and brother had it. And they'd take their toll out of it. They pulled a Huckleberry Finn on me, my brother and brother-in-law. You say, what'd you do? Had that old big steam boiler first. Go down there and fire it, you know. And then when they do, you turn it on right slow. And then you'd let me blow the whistle. And a boy, you know, something like that, pretty funny. They got me firing that old boiler. I mean, that thing that pulled the power of it. And then I'd blow the whistle sometimes as every Saturday. But then when the fall of the year, I got a hammer mill. And then they'd blow the whistle at 1 o'clock. That meant folks could come. They could hear it a mile or circle or two around there. I'd blow that whistle. And then any time I'd turn it, and he'd go, turn that valve on up and let that steam go and keep the fire. If you don't keep the fire burning, the head of steam won't. It won't have no power. That's the reason a lot of Baptists now, they let the fire die down.
Right. Right. Yeah, darling. Yeah, darling.
Yeah, he's a foundation. No other foundation can any man lay. You say, we're built on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul say when he went to the church at Corinth and wrote to him, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified. He's the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Thank God. The head's what tells you and controls the movement. If we'd listen, wouldn't have to have hearing aids spiritually like I have to physically and still can't hear good. Been wearing them since 1988. But anyway, if we could hear and be spiritual, he'll speak. I tell folks I can hear his voice. If I can't hear theirs too good.
Amen.
Not only the Lord the founder of it, and not only is he the foundation, heaven and earth rooted and grounded in love in him, he's the future of the church's glories. You say it is. Yep, I can't hardly wait for it.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's the founder of it. And I'm a member of it. And he's a foundation I'm relying on.
Yeah.
My wife said to me about 2 weeks before she died, my daughter, I'd rolled her in there, got her recliner in the living room, not sitting in a wheelchair beside of her. Sometimes, always down through the 63 years and 8 months and 10 days that we were married, it'd say sometimes she wanted me to special a tank, but she didn't say it. Hateful way she'd say right in a tone of voice. I knew she wanted to tell me something, and it was something she deserved, wanted to hear, and I wanted to hear it. And I was sitting there holding hands with her, and she said, Rayton. I said, what? She said, I've been thinking. I said, honey, all of us think once in a while. I said, what you thinking? She said, when I'm gone, you're going to keep preaching? I said, I hadn't thought anything about that, honey. Really about that? I said, that's what I do. I said, I'm going to take care of you. She said, I know it. I thought you would. She looked over at me then, squeezed my hand, said, that's what I want you to do. Keep on when I'm gone.
Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher.
I was in a revival meeting then, and I made the funeral arrangements. I went and preached that night, and a woman got saved. They like took a service away from me. Another preacher supposed to preach. They got telling how that they had went to my wife, people. I mean, places saved other. How they talk, and boy, I'm telling you, it got on around there.
Yeah.
You say, what'd you preach on? I don't know. I preached about Jesus. I didn't know anything else. I was like Charles Spurgeon. They asked him, said, is there ever a hard time you have trouble preaching? He said, yes. So, well, what do you do? He said, I run to Jesus as soon as I can.
Amen.
Go to brag it on him. Said, gay, get better.
Amen.
He's the foundation, the future of its glory. Without controversy, great's the mystery of God, and as God's manifest in the flesh, justified the Spirit, preached that scene of angels, preached on the world, received up the glory, and said, I'm coming back for you. It's going to be a glorious church that he presents us.
Yes, sir.
Without blemish, without spot.
Right.
That's what he said is glorious.
Yes.
You say, well, I got pain and aches now. You get older, you'll have more of them. But anyway, you might not have them now, but just stay around. Anyway, he says in Romans 8:18, I reckon to suffer this present time are not worthy to be compared to glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, that word earnest means a warranty or the guarantee. The earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Don't appear yet what we'll be, but we know when he'll appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. He'll present it to himself. You say, why? It's his. You belong to the member of it. You're a member. You might be a member of a local church, but he is the one that's the founder of it. He's the one, the foundation, what we're building on. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he knew a man above 14 years ago what is in the body or out of the body. He didn't know. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, saw things that wasn't lawful to utter. For 14 years, God let him tell it. Then he said a little bit about it. I got to thinking one day in the scripture, I said, wonder what he saw. He saw things that wasn't lawful to utter. And I got to thinking there in the Hebrews 4:16 is the only time that's mentioned. He tells us to pray. But he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our need. He saw the Son of God. He said, Christ, our forerunners, entered in that we've got to anchor the soul both sure and steadfast, whether the forerunners enter. And then not only that, when he said we obtain mercy and find grace to help, we got a high priest that's appearing in the presence of God for us, a mediator between God and man. And thank God it needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice, but one sacrifice paid the debt for us. And then he said, wherefore, because of that, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, sin he ever liveth. The high priest under the Israelite economy, they died, another took their place. Sure. But our high priest died, buried, rose again, thank God. Amen. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, the prophet, the priest, and the king, and thank God rose again, defeated every foe. Amen. Nobody found any fault with him, entered into heaven with his own blood, obtained eternal redemption, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high, till the enemies be made his footstool, and then he's coming back. Hallelujah, I'm looking for him. Oh, yeah. Yes. The future of the church is glorious. You say, did, and then I got to thinking. I was reading in Hebrews 12:22, and it said, but you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, innumerable company of angels, and the spirits of just man made perfect. I thought on that a little. I said, I don't find that nowhere else. I wonder if the Lord let him write that much and we'd search it out to see. You come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. He saw them. Sure. Right. And the spirits of just man and women made perfect. Right. Absent from the body, present the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah. And then he saw that. He went right in the palace of the King of Kings, universe.
Amen. Amen.
And then, no wonder Paul said if he saw that. Yeah. No wonder God inspired him. Said he'll present it to himself, a glorious church.
Amen.
Now the spirits of just man made perfect, there wasn't any fault in them. Wasn't anything wrong, was
right.
it?
Right. Amen, preacher.
I was born the first time to corrupt birth, but I was born the second time with incorruptible seed.
Amen.
As blood at the first birth my mother shed. But I'll tell you, my second birth is the blood that Jesus shed, that paid the price for me. You are, he said he's going to present it. Just submit to him. And then one day he'll present it to himself.
Yes.
A glorious church, having no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. And just think about it. Oh, what it must be like to be there. I read a black preacher was preaching a funeral. I read his sermon. And he talked about this lady was a mother in Israel. Said she is always going about doing good. She had a kind word for everybody. Said maybe she might have had some bad time, but all I seen was her good works manifest. Said the Lord had a place right there fixed for her. Said she loved flowers. And said I believe at her mansion the Lord had some flowers that don't never fade there for where she entered in that. Said she entered into that place and said, oh, it's a place of beauty, none of the ugliness of this world. And he got to repeating this over, oh, what it must be like to be there.
Yeah.
My Lord, after I read about three of them, I had to lay the book down.
Yeah.
'Cause eyes not seen,
right.
Ears not heard,
right.
Neither has it in the hearts of man the things God prepared for them that love him. Do you love him tonight? Do you know him tonight, your Savior? I tell you, if you don't, when the Holy Ghost of God deals you, run to him. Cry out for mercy. Don't cry for justice. If you do, you'll go to hell. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the door. By him, if any man enter in, they'll go in and out and find pasture. It's him, nobody else. One day when he comes, change this vile body like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself, without blemish, without spot. I like what Brother John said in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, right now, present tense, Are we the sons of God and it does not yet appear what we shall be? But we know that when he appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And every man has this hope in him, purifies himself. He's the one that's altogether lovely. Thank God he's going to speak. And the voice of a living, like a song of Solomon, one day is going to cry out. Brother, you could hear his voice. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. The winter time, the storm's going to be over, and the land that's fairer than day, we're going to be entered in. And he'll present it to himself that he paid for, sold us, bought us, brought us, cleansed us, and washed all our sins away, and said, they're mine. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. We're a member of that General Assembly. I'm thankful that I've been a member and am a member of a church that preaches the gospel of the grace of God. Salvation by grace. Jesus Christ the way. I'm glad we got a high priest that said the forerunner for us has entered. And there appears in the presence of God for us. That entered there with his own blood and obtained eternal redemption. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, we obtain mercy. And we find grace to help in our hour of need, no matter what it may be. He give us more grace, more grace. And it's all of you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, not going to be in that number, not yet in it, when he presents that glorious church, that this will be the time that God spoke to their hearts. Our brother gets us a number and we sing. Right now, somebody maybe has not been thankful to God for Trinity like they ought to. Not realize, Lord, how that their souls fed a man of God, people of God here. No doubt as I saw all that food today and people smiling and happy in fellowship, bearing one another's burdens when sickness comes, when death comes, when sorrow comes, weep with them that weep, rejoicing with them that rejoice. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Thank you, Lord. One day, our imperfections will be perfect. One day, our carnality will be all spiritual glory to God in that glorified body like yours. When you present it to himself, a glorious church having neither spot, blemish, or wrinkle. I pray right now, as a lot of people ought to thank God for the church, thank you again that you saved them. Bow before you and humble himself under the mighty hand of God, not take for granted all you've done and the church they've got. Sinner, if you're here, come. God speaking to you as we stand right now as our brother leads us.